Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
What is church and why is it important? There's a lot of different concepts and definitions of what a church is and how a church should function in today's culture. Today with Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to look at God's original plan for the local New Testament church. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we study a series entitled, I Will Build My Church. What is church? What did God mean when he made that statement? And how has it been redefined and reappropriated in today's culture? A lot of things, a lot of different institutions use the word church that don't really align with Jesus' original statement, I will build my church. And so, what is church? Why is it important? And how does that matter for your life? You're in store for a great treat as we study the local church. I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Lots of resources for your spiritual growth when you follow us at dailyintheword.org. Today, our Bibles are open to Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 35 as we study real discipleship. Here's Paul Chappell.
Everywhere Jesus went, crowds followed him. It seemed like people came to observe the miracles. They came to hear what he had to say. They had heard about great things he had done. And so there were people always hovering around the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet as we consider the crowd, we recognize from the teaching of the Scripture that not everyone in the crowd was always a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Not everyone believed he was the Son of God, Messiah, come down for their redemption. Not everyone followed him with a heart of devotion. Many were just there and somewhat curious, but not necessarily committed. And you know, there is some truth this morning to be said in the fact that there's a great difference between a crowd and real discipleship. A great difference between gathering a crowd and building disciples. A lot of folks will come, I learned years ago, for certain types of things you can gather a crowd. Maybe a musical concert or a chili cook-off or horseback riding or something of this nature. You can get a crowd of people to come and get together. And don't misunderstand me, I'm not against getting a crowd, because anytime you can get a crowd of folks together, maybe some of them will accept Christ and maybe they will become disciples. But the goal of the New Testament church of which I preach today is not primarily getting a crowd. The goal of the New Testament church is developing disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus was speaking about in this passage. He was speaking about discipleship. And one of the great questions of the Bible that really differentiates between being a part of the crowd and being a part of the true disciples of Jesus Christ, one of the great questions that helped me is found in John chapter 6. And maybe this will let you know where we're going by way of introduction this morning. Notice in John 6:66, as Jesus had just preached on the bread of life, he had just preached on the doctrine of his deity. The Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now just picture that in your mind. Jesus has fed the 5,000, and probably 7,000 to 10,000 people had gathered. How many of you would agree that's a crowd of people, right? A lot of people gathered around. And now Jesus began teaching this crowd that he was the bread of life, that he was the Son of God, and he was proclaiming to them these great doctrinal truths. And as he was sharing the doctrine with them, many people began to walk away. Many people who were there for the bread, many people who were there for the party, they said, you know what, this is more than I bargained for, and they began to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in the midst of that moment, the Bible says that Jesus looked at the 12, and he said to them this very penetrating question, "Will ye also go away?" Would you say that with me this morning? "Will ye also go away?" Now, in my mind, I've often pictured Jesus looking at me right in the eyes and asking that question. "Will you also go away?" What a convicting question that I ask you this morning. Will you also go away? Or were you here for a season, for a party, to get the kids raised, to get through some trouble? Were you here for a while, or do you seriously want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Local churches will never reach their fullest potential unless the local churches are filled with people who are committed to the matter of being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you that this message this morning isn't going to be the funniest message I've ever preached. This message this morning isn't about just a moment of hilarity. This message is a message to ponder today. Because I got to tell you, when Jesus uses terms like, "If you want to follow me, bear your cross," that's not the most exciting Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus kind of a statement. He's not talking about some life of ease. He's calling a few good men here. He's calling disciples here. And I want you to understand that it would be much easier for you to find fault with the church or with other Christians and just check out than to really determine to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It'd be a lot easier for you and even for me to just say, "You know what? These people are a bunch of hypocrites. This is not, you know," and make up some excuse and then just quit. I'm telling you right now, it would be easier for you to just quit than it would be for you to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. And the statistics bear that out. Thousands were a part of the crowd, but fewer were true disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, it's amazing. Many times the reasons that people use for quitting on God or walking away from the things of God, many times the reasons that are given are not really the reason. The real reason is rooted in the fact that there is a lack of desire for becoming a true disciple, because we know that being a disciple involves bearing the burden, bearing the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many times folks will have other things that are said, but at the root, there is a lack of commitment to the calling that Jesus gives us here. Someone said, "Disciple making is the central work of the people of Christ's church. The work of bringing men and women to a saving relationship to Jesus Christ and of helping them grow in His knowledge and in His likeness." And I've got to tell you this morning, as a pastor, my great desire has not been to gather a crowd. My great desire has been to cultivate and develop disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here seriously committed to this matter of growing in discipleship, growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's learn about that today. Let's listen to the words of Jesus. What is the criteria that He gives for being a real disciple of Jesus Christ? Everybody ready? Here we go. First of all, if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must love the Master above anyone or anything else. We must be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have found that long before a man leaves his wife, if he's a Christian, he left his close walk with Jesus. Long before a woman quits out serving God, she left walking with God. You see, loving the Master is where Jesus begins this conversation. Didn't you see it a moment ago in verse 26? "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also," what does he say? "He cannot be my disciple." He says, if you're going to follow me, then you've got to love me. And notice, if you will, first of all, this love in comparison. This love in comparison. He says something strange. He says, if you don't follow me in a way that would your love for me in comparison to everyone else, that love would look like hate in comparison to your love for me. And you'll notice he says, "And hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also." This word hate is used for comparison, that our love for Christ would be so much greater than our love for others that in comparison, that would look like hate compared to how much I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how much you love Jesus because I can't look in your heart, but I'm fully convinced if I started the altar call right now, many of us probably should come and make some decisions because we probably love some other people and some other things more than we love Him. But He said, you've got to love me more than all of that. How many of you have children? Would you raise your hand for just a moment? He says, I want you to love me so much that when you consider your love for me, that in comparison, it doesn't even look like you love your family. He's not saying don't love your family. He's just saying that in comparison, I am so loved by you that everything else is so less. Now, I don't know about you, that's a convicting thought. That's what He says in Matthew 10, 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You see, God says, I want you to love me more than anyone else. Deuteronomy 6, 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I mean, it's not some. It's all. And that's what discipleship is all about. My whole heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so loving the Master is where this all begins. Look at, it's not enough to love the church or love the pastor or love the Sunday school teacher or love the area. My friend, you may not love all that all the time, but you better love Him all the time if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Notice it's not only in comparison, it's in comprehension. It's not just that our love is so great compared to other kinds of loves, but it is that we know who we love. I think many times this is a problem that people don't ever come to the full comprehension of who Jesus Christ is. Notice here He says in verse 26, if any man come to me, notice that phrase, come to me. In other words, I fully comprehend that the one who died for me is the very Son of God, that He is deity, that He is God in the flesh, and that as God in the flesh, He went to the cross of Calvary, He shed His blood on that cross, He suffered, bled, and died for me on that cross, and rose again on the third day, and I understand who He is, and that's why He is worthy of that kind of extra love. He is worthy of that kind of devotion, because I comprehend who He is and what He did for me. As Christians, someone said, I challenge you. Have a great aim. Have a high standard. Make Jesus your ideal. Make Him an ideal not merely to be admired, but also to be followed. Love for the Master. That's where discipleship begins. I'm going to tell you again, we do not stop serving. We do not become unfaithful because of this one hurt my feelings and they didn't like my kid. Because I'm telling you what, when you are in love with Jesus, with this kind of love, nothing will stop you. Not raging wild horses, nothing, nobody will stop you from being faithful to your God and the Lord Jesus whom you love, you see. Love for the Master. Secondly, the second characteristic of a disciple is that he has a service for the Master. He serves his Master. He is willing to bear that burden and to be involved in that life of Jesus Christ. Yes, sometimes being a Christian means that true love labors. Sometimes being a Christ follower involves labor, work, and sacrifice. I heard of two fellows walking down Main Street in the town where they lived, and there was a store that had a sign in the window, and the sign said, no help wanted. And the guy looked at it, and he looked at his friend. He said, you know, you should apply. You'd be good at that. You ever known anybody like that? I mean, they're just not really known for their work ethic. But the Bible says that if we're going to be a follower of Christ, real disciples, not just a part of the crowd, but real disciples, then we are going to be involved in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And true love will always serve and sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the reasoning of a mature Christian is like this. He died for me, how can I live for him? Jesus paid for my sin. I would be on my way to hell were it not for Jesus Christ. How can I serve Him and follow Him with all of my heart? 2 Corinthians 12:15, Paul gave a testimony like this to the church. And look at this in your notes. He said, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Paul said, now, look it, I'll give my life for you. I will be spent for you, though the more I serve, the less I'm loved, but I'm still going to serve. Now, why was that? Why would Paul give his life for people who didn't care? That's what he says there. The reason that Paul gave his life for people that didn't care was because he really wasn't doing it for those people that didn't care. He was doing it for the one he loved. Sometimes it is embarrassing in this day in which we live, the little piddly things that will cause a crowd member to quit. Paul said, the reason I'm steady here is not because you're patting me on the back all the time. It's because I know my Redeemer liveth. I know who I love. I know. What does the Bible say to wives? The Bible says, wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Now listen, that doesn't mean your husband is the Lord. What it means is this. Your husband may not always deserve that level of devotion, but your Lord does. So you do it as unto the Lord, okay? So the service for the master is born out of a heart of love for the master, all right? Now, how does that service look, okay? How do we as committed disciples serve our Lord who died for us? Let me give you some thoughts quickly. First, we must bear the cross. We must bear the cross. Now, excuse me, bearing the cross does not mean the corns on your feet, the ticket you got because you were speeding, or the bankruptcy you filed. A lot of times people use Bible terms to explain trials in their life, but they're misusing the Bible term. Bearing the cross is not a general reference to every mess up that we experience. So what is bearing the cross? Bearing the cross means this. As I bear the cross, it means that I am bearing the life that comes with following Jesus Christ. The life that comes with following Jesus Christ. Because if you're going to follow Him the way we're learning this morning, there will come at times burdens in bearing that cross. There will come challenges as you serve the Lord in this way. You see, there is a great difference between realizing Jesus died on the cross for me and also realizing I was crucified there as well. What do we mean by that? The fact of the matter is that a mature believer recognizes that my will and my agenda died on that cross. My sin was placed at that cross. My life in the sense of me and mine died there. And now it is all about Him, my Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let me give you four aspects of what it means to bear the cross very quickly. Jesus called us to do it, so what does that mean as a disciple? First, bearing the cross means denying self. It means denying self. It means if yourself is too embarrassed to pray for your lunch, you do it anyway because it's not about you anymore, it's about Him. You can still pray at lunch on your own time, by the way. But some Christians would be embarrassed. They're so consumed with self, they're embarrassed to let others know where they stand with Jesus. Hence, they're not bearing the cross. They're not identifying with the Savior, you see. And that's why there's a crowd of people in America who call themselves Christians today, but haven't come that close to being disciples. And what America needs is not another honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker. America needs some people who love Him enough to bear the cross. Galatians 2:20, Paul speaks of this. I am crucified with Christ. Say that, please. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul is saying this. He said, me, my agenda, my feelings, my rights, they're on that cross. Now, in America, everybody's fighting for their rights. Everybody's just sure that nobody loves them. Nobody loves their children. Nobody cares. Nobody knows the trouble we've seen. Everybody in America today is concerned about my rights. But Paul wasn't. He said, me? I am crucified with Christ. So if someone treats me wrong because of my love for Jesus, that's a part of this. That's a part of being a disciple. I want to be faithful to Him. It means denial of self. It means if someone says you're nuts to go to church on Sunday night, so be it. You are willing to bear that because you are a child of Jesus Christ. Denial of self. Secondly, it involves the denial of self-will. Sometimes what I will can get in the road of what He wants for my life. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, Lord, I surrender my will to you. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. There'll be a second offering for this special music after the service, all right? So what do you mean? All to Jesus I surrender. Hey, some of you are professional hymn singers, but you're not thinking for a minute what you're singing about. Because Romans 12:1 says, surrendering your life to Jesus, that's just your reasonable service. That's not a huge, oh, bless His heart, He passed out a track. Wow. No, that's just reasonable. If you know who died for you. You know, if we got to pin a button on somebody every time they do the basics, we haven't gotten close to discipleship yet. You see. Denial of my will. Spurgeon said, I have now concentrated all my prayers into one, and that one prayer is this, that I may die to self and live wholly in Him. You see, Spurgeon said that's what it's all about. It's not about me, it's about Him. Have you come to that place in your life? Maybe you heard the story about the pig and the hen that were walking down the road. They saw the big sign for the church breakfast, and everyone was invited. And the hen said to the pig, he said, isn't that nice that we can help out the pastor with this special meal? The pig looked at the hen and said, I don't know. He said, it may be well for you. You're making a contribution. I'm making a sacrifice. You know, the fact is that really being a disciple involves sacrifice. That's why I said it's a lot easier to say, all the church wants is money. I never have any friends over there. No one's nice to my kid. A lot easier to check out than become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can join the Excuse a Week Club if you want to. I mean, there are many, many chapters. But there are few disciples, my friend. Thirdly, a disciple in bearing the cross lives with the expectation of persecution. The expectation of persecution. Say, well, boy, you're really making the Christian life sound wonderful. I mean, this isn't no Joel Osteen message here. How about your best life now? That's what I want, my best life right now. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not about me or you, my friends. It's about Christ. And if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and preach the whole counsel of God, not just a few select portions here and there. And here's a verse not often preached in the power of positive thinking pulpits, and I want you to see it, 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now let's read that together. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Folks, I mean, I'm not hoping for that. I'm not wishing it on you. I'm just being honest with you. The Bible, in the Greek, the word all means all that will live godly. That means you're going to be a real disciple, you're going to have some persecution.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching and preaching through a series entitled I Will Build My Church. We're taking a look at God's original plan and intent for local church ministry. What is it? Why is it important? And how does it matter for your life today? You can find out more about this series and previous Daily in the Word programs when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Launch Out at His Word daily devotional, read through the Bible in a year, and receive a daily word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell and from God's Word every day in your email box. That's completely free of charge. You can also download Daily in the Word and take it with you via the podcast. Place it on your phone, iPod, or computer, or refer a friend to listen to Daily in the Word. All of this and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and a host of friends August 9th through 16th, 2014, for a marvelous cruise to Alaska. 7 days of adventure aboard a beautiful cruise ship. You'll enjoy the beauty of God's creation, the fellowship of Christian friends, and some great Bible teaching and preaching. Again, that's August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Now is the time to register and reserve your place on the ship. You can find out more about the cruise and get questions answered when you visit us again at dailyintheword.org. The other thing you can do is give us a call, toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell personally and follow his ministry, be sure to visit his blog at paulchappell.com. That's paulchappell.com. If you're interested in his books and other resources for spiritual growth, be sure to visit strivingtogether.com. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.